thought, I'm already talking about this, so let's just go a step further with it. I know I say this from time to time. There's a lot of things that are tough on us as Christians. How do we rubber meet the road? How do we do things? A pastor from Hamilton called me today, and we were talking through some stuff, and he's like, he said, man, I just think as a church we've got enough knowledge. He's like, we know enough. He goes, but we're not doing enough. He's like, we're not reaching people for Jesus. We're not ministering. He's like, but we're not evangelizing. We're not outreaching people. And I said, yeah, I know, and I'm as guilty as anybody, but I think at times we get like that. And so we think, you know, I have all this head knowledge. How do I put it into practice? How do I stay connected? And you know, we talked about a few weeks ago about, you know, forgiving others and pride and all those things. We think about, hey, I'm getting better on this or I'm getting better on that. And the only way, I think it all goes back to this, the only way we can ever stay consistent in our walk is that consistent time alone with Jesus. And that comes from the reading and the studying of Scripture. So as I was reading this and preparing this, and a few things happened that I'll share with you later, I hope this is what God laid on my heart. So when the king was settled in his palace, we're in chapter 7. Remember last week, we were in chapter 6, and David, they tried to move the ark, and some bad stuff happened, and eventually they got the ark moved and got it settled, and David danced around. And the week before that, he had come into Jerusalem, he conquered the city and ran the Jebusites out. And so now, it says, when the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had granted him safety from all the enemies around him. So this is a time, some of the scholars say that this came, 7 actually came after 8. You know, when you go to chapter 8, and we'll look at it in a couple of weeks, sometime afterward, David attacked the Philistines and subdued them. So some people think the chronological order may be off just a little bit. It doesn't really matter. But God has granted him safety all around from his enemies. So the king said to the prophet Nathan, here's where we get the introduction of Nathan. Nathan's going to play a much bigger role later on in the Bathsheba era. Here I am dwelling in a house of cedar while the ark of the Lord abides in a tent. Well, you would think that makes perfect sense. David says, you know, remember, go back to what he had done. He had Hiram come and all his stonemasons and his carpenters, and they built David this place. Remember, we talked about that, how David was strategically becoming friends. He was marrying people from other regions on purpose to strengthen his reign, but he also was becoming friends with the people. So Hiram was smart, and he said, hey, let's be buddies with David. I'm going to send my people, and they're going to build you a palace. So David is saying, and it'd be equivalent to this, David said, I'm living in this nice palace, but the Ark of the Lord's out there in the tent. And this is not right, David said. So there is this Near Eastern mindset that's going on, because most of these pagan worshipers that worship false gods built elaborate temples and places for their gods to reside in. So David, I don't think he's a pagan. I think he's just thinking, hey, well, this temple's got this, you know, or this God's got this temple and this, you know, here. So David says, well, I'm living in this, so I'm going to build God this temple, and he's going to live in that. Well, on the surface, you think there's absolutely nothing wrong with this. But what has God already told his people? You're not going to be like other people. You're going to worship me. You're not going to be like the other tribes and territories around you. So by now you know this is probably not going to be the best idea. So Nathan said to the king, go and do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you. So Nathan's a prophet, okay? So this would be equivalent to you coming to me and asking me for, you know, some advice, spiritual advice, and me saying, yeah, go do it. But notice the issue here, Nathan did not inquire of the Lord. But the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and say to my servant David, thus saith the Lord, are you the one to build a house for me to dwell in?" Now, we'll break this down in the next week, but the week after, we're going to break down what all he says. And from the day that I brought you the people of Israel out of Egypt to this day, I have not dwelt in a house, but I have moved about in a tent and tabernacle. As I moved about where the Israelites went, did I ever reproach any of the tribal leaders whom I appointed to care for my people Israel? Why have you not built me a house of cedar? So God said, have I got on anybody else for not building me a house? Then David, why do you think you need to build me a house? He says, Nathan, you go and tell him that. Now, God's going to go, he's going to give more to this, in fact, and we'll get into it. This is the longest that God speaks to about any one thing or to any one person since he spoke to his servant Moses. And he's going to give him instructions, and we're going to see some prophecy in this and how it's all fulfilled. Again, that's for the next time. What I want us to look at tonight is how does Nathan, now remember we looked at this last week as well, how David has done the same thing. David kind of jumped the gun. David knew he was not supposed to move the ark, or he should have known, and I believe he did know, because in the Torah, it has specific instructions on how they carry it by the poles, and David didn't do that. So they mess up and somebody gets killed, Uzzah gets killed, because David is a little bit haphazard with the moving of the ark. So it's not that David's intentions were bad last week. His intentions were good. Hey, let's move the ark. But he didn't do it the way God told him to do. This week, Nathan, again, David's intentions are good. Hey, let's build a house for God. And Nathan says, go do it. But then God speaks to him at night and says, no, you're not supposed to do that. So we've got David's intentions are good. Nathan's not only are his intentions good, but under normal circumstances, his counsel's not bad. He's like, look, you're wanting to please the Lord. So when we look at that from a, you know, point of view that we're in, we think, hey, this is what the Lord wants me to do. The Lord wants me to, and, you know, you can insert whatever you want to there. Give money, give this money to missions. That's not a bad thing. But maybe the Lord wants you to do something else with that money, even inside his kingdom. Maybe you say, the Lord wants me to disciple so-and-so. And again, that's a great thing, but maybe the Lord has somebody else he wants to disciple that person. I don't know what it is. It could be something as a church that we're supposed to be doing, and we say, yes, this is it, let's do it. And then again, we have the prophet here goes, I think that's a great idea. And God says, no, it's not. Well, how did they get in this situation? It's obvious by the answer that God gave him that Nathan had not consulted with God. It's obvious that Nathan had not prayed. What should he have done? He should have told David, hey, let's pray about this. Now, we're going to see this gets David in trouble throughout his reign. It got him in trouble last week. It almost gets him in trouble here. Joab even tries to stop him at the end where he takes the census, and Joab's like, no, no, why do you want to do this? And David should have inquired of the Lord before he did that, but David goes on and acts on it, and he gets in trouble there, and people fall to pestilence and to disease because of him. So we see David get in trouble. Now, as we read this and look at it, again, I told you last week, I don't want my life for anybody to read, all right? I don't want y'all knowing what I do and all of my sins. But as I'm reading this and thinking about this and meditating on this, I couldn't help but think, you know, I do the same thing David does all the time, and I do the same thing that Nathan did. Now, here's what I do, and this is where I'll give you a little bit of testimony. For those, and I know a lot of you know, for those that don't know, I struggle saying no to stuff. Somebody asked me to do something, I'm like, yeah, I'll help. Now, don't get me wrong, nobody's calling me to fix their plumbing because they know that would be a catastrophe. But if somebody says, hey, will you do this? Yeah. Well, you do that? Yeah. And a lot of mine are sometimes community related or sports related. It drives Lori crazy that, you know. So last year I got involved in coaching some stuff. Lori told me I was crazy. I did it anyway. And the minute I got started, I can't wait for this to be over. And it caused some stress in my life. And I thought, there's some days where I miss my quiet time. And I thought, okay, as soon as this gets over, I can get back my routine. Well, that ended, thank the Lord. And then for some reason, unbeknownst to anybody with a rational mind, we started building a house. And it's been one thing after another. And my phone starts going off at 6:30 many mornings because I'm overseeing it, and people are texting me, calling me, wanting this and wanting that and need this. And I'm like, I get up and I can't even get my day started. And so I've been praying, Lord, as soon as this gets over, I'm getting back to my routine. And as I'm studying this thing about it, God says something to me, says, stuff's not gonna ever stop happening in your life. If it's not this, it's gonna be something else. If it's not me building a house or helping out a little bit extra here, it's gonna be something else. It's gonna be my children are older and they may need something here. In other words, life's never gonna stop coming at us. And for you, I don't know where you're at and whatever you may be going on. I don't know think any of you are building a house. It could be job related, it could be kid related, it could be something else. But as I'm getting ready for this and preparing for this, that's kind of the point of what God said, is that stuff's not going to stop happening. You know, here's David. He's got the ark. Here's David over here. He's like, hey, the ark's done. But we have got to, and I've got to, be very consistent in my time and protect that at all costs, my time alone with God in the mornings, my time in the Word, and let the Holy Spirit speak to me, because something's always going to be coming up. Now, why do we need what Nathan and David neglected here? They neglected to hear a word from God. They neglected to ask Him, what should we do in this situation? And so here, I just jotted some stuff down earlier today, and this is what I want to impart to you tonight. Now, as you all know, I'm, as they say, preaching to the choir tonight. I know a lot of you here are the ones that do a consistent quiet time, and a lot of the other people saw the text today and are like, nah, I don't need to see that. And, you know, those are probably some of the same people who would have to get dust off the Bible to read it. But here's why we need to hear some things I just jotted down. Is first of all, without a consistent walk, then we can't be like Jesus. And I hear people tell me this all the time. Well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't have to read the Bible every day to be a Christian. And I get that. And I would say no, but there should be some desire to. If you're a child of God, there should be some desire to be among God's people. If you're a child of God, there should be some desire to spend time with Him. I know life gets busy, but there should be some desire. If we're not in the Word daily, then we can't hear what God wants us to do on a particular situation like this. Many of you have things like this come up in your life now. Do I apply for this job? When I was at Nucor, and I know some of you guys work at plants, I know every plant does it different, every job does it different, but we would call it bidding on jobs. If you wanted to go to another department, or if you wanted to move up the ladder into management, things like that, you could bid on a job. And, you know, things like that. Do I do this, Lord? Do I teach Sunday school? Do you want me to lead a class? Do you want me to do this? If we're not in God's Word, we're not going to know how God's going to lead us in that. If we're not in God's Word, we can't respond accordingly, right? I don't care what you say. I would disagree with you to the death of me on this. If you're not constantly in God's Word and reading and spending time and letting this saturate and meditate on this, you're not going to respond in a Christ-like way when things come up. I've told you where I'm at. Something happened the other day. Are you recording this, Catfish? Okay, I won't tell that story then. I would just say this, Lori and I never fight, honestly, not much. I don't mean like we're perfect. We just don't, it's because she just doesn't get mad much. It's not me, I can promise you that. But the other day she got a little bit mad at me. She probably won't listen to this, so I can use her name. But, you know, and then I went back and apologized because it was all my fault. I started it, and then I got to thinking later that day. I was like, I read that day, but it wasn't my normal time of reading and cherishing and reflecting. And God spoke to me and said, you've got to stay in the Word, because I don't know about you, but I can go from zero to flesh pretty quick. All right, especially when I don't get my way. And so that's what happened. Then today, and Mandy has to hear about all my days all the time. Today we have, like, if it could go wrong on a house, it went wrong today, all right? You know, it just did. And I mean, I got in the flesh, I was upset. You know, the power company didn't want to cooperate, and they made the painters mad, and the painters got mad and left, and the electrician didn't want to cooperate, and it's like everybody's mad at somebody, and everybody just left, and no work was getting done. I'm like, and so, I mean, I got agitated, I got stressed, I got worried about the bank stuff, and then I got to thinking, I neglected my cherished time today. You know, because coming in and reading a couple of chapters and going, oh, okay, I read it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just diving into God's Word and pouring into it and letting Him pour into us. When we don't do this, we cannot know His will in our lives. Now, that's not what I said earlier, you know what to do in a particular situation like David's doing here at work. But we can't know God's will for us if we aren't in His Word. When we're not in His Word, we're not going to be where He wants us to be. I know David, you know, you think David's making just a decision here, but when we're not in God's Word consistently, we're not going to be where He wants us in life. When we're not in God's Word, we cannot love others like Jesus does. Now, you may all be better than me. There's some very nice people in here. I don't want to call your names because, again, we're recording. Then there's someone here a lot, probably more wired like me. And the older I get, I'm just going to be honest, the more loud people get on my nerves. And I know you think, well, you're probably loud. I may be. I don't know. But, like, I like quiet time. I don't like a lot of noise. And I don't like being distracted a lot. And if I'm not in God's Word, I'm not going to be a very good reflection of Jesus Christ when it comes to distractions and other people. When I'm not in God's Word, I tend to worry and stress over life situations a lot more. And like today, I got all worked up over a lot of things. And when I'm in God's Word, I know that it's just a different level of peace. Now, What's the point of all this? Because as believers, our goal should be to please Jesus in everything we do and to be more like Him every day. Now, what has David done here? He's not really done anything egregious. So we think, you know, there's nothing wrong with what he's doing. I mean, but it is. He did not inquire of God. You know, there's different types of sin. There's sins of commission and omission. And omission just means that we sin outwardly. That means I get mad at you, I yell at you, I do something there. Sins of commission are just not doing things that God is leading us to do. And so that could be you giving more, you praying more, you leading something. And you think, well, I didn't really know I was supposed to do that. That's because you're not in God's Word, not letting Him speak to you, not reading devotions. So that should be our goal. Now, know this, the devil's going to fight you every inch of the way. Every time you try to get something going, reading God's Word and setting aside time, the devil's going to put something in your way. Your alarm clock's not going to go off, or your coffee, you're going to spill your coffee. Something's going to go wrong, and the devil's going to fight you. But we have to, And I was reading something the other day that said that routines are much better than willpower. And in other words, you've got to set a routine and you got to go with it. Now, some practical advice, and most of you know this, I get all this, but you got to have consistent time. It's got to be almost the same time every day. I'm not a morning person per se, but that's when I have to and need my quiet time. Some of you are better than me and you can do it at night, because if I don't do it in the morning, you're not going to get a lot of Jesus throughout the day. But I also understand that some of you have to be at work much earlier than I do. So just have a consistent time, a consistent place, and get something you can understand in a translation. But here's what I wanted to tell you today, too, is I've learned a lot in the last year. I'm getting older. Now, this section here, y'all are a lot younger than me. So you know what I've learned? I have to write everything down. I don't know about y'all, and I know some people like their phones. I don't like it, but studies show the more you write, the more you're going to remember. In other words, I can read 2 Samuel 7, but now if I talk about 2 Samuel 7, I'm going to remember it more. But if I read it, talk about it, and write it down, I'm more likely to remember what's in there. I don't know how many readers we have. You ever read a book and then 2 weeks later forgot everything you read in it? I mean, I do that all the time. History books, and I love them. I read a book on Stonewall Jackson about 4 or 5 years ago. Read a good series last year about Ron Chernow, George Washington, Ulysses S. Grant, Alexander Hamilton. Read all 3 books. Now, if you were to, and I mean, these are thick books, like 900 pages. Now, if you were to say, all right, we're going to give you a quiz on that, I'd be like, and they were good books. I remember them being good books, but I don't remember a lot of the details in them. I can remember some of them. But the point is, you need to write it down. So I've been working on that too, as books. You make notes in your book that you write, then you go back and write out the highlights of the book, and it helps you remember that more. The point of this is, when we read God's Word, we don't just read it, we meditate on it, which I'm going to get to in just a second, but we also write down how God has spoken to us. And you've memorized scripture before, but I'm just going to pick something out of thin air because I don't know. First, you probably run across people who go, oh, I remember in 1 Peter 4:8, and I'm like, how do they do that? Romans 8:28, Matthew 5:20 says this. And a lot of it is, I know they're putting it to memory, but they're writing it out. When God speaks to them on something, so they have a journal. A spiritual journal. Now, what else does that do? The spiritual journal allows us to go back and check. And we write prayers out, and we write questions out about our prayers, and we say, Lord, will you answer this for me? Will you give me peace about this? And you write it out, and then you go back, and you look at it later and go, Lord, answer that prayer. And so you have basically a prayer journal or a scripture journal, but then you meditate on it. You think about it. You think about this, like you would take first or 2 Samuel 7, and you would take this verse and go, Lord, this is what I really need in my life. I need more time with you. Because y'all have done this too. You've read the Bible, and you closed it, and you're like, what did I just read? I mean, like 30 seconds ago, not 3 weeks ago, but 30 seconds ago. And so here's what I just want to share with you, because I'm about out of time, I know that, is that I really believe the devil does everything in his power to keep us from being in God's Word. I believe the devil does everything in his power to keep us from meditating and writing things down. I believe the devil does everything he can because he doesn't want us to be more like Jesus. So the only way we're going to be more like Jesus is to spend more time in here. I was listening to a guy a few weeks ago who he's like a Jewish expert in all the history, and I tried it, but again, it's hard to do with all of your reading. And it doesn't mean to skip any of your other reading. You know, I know everybody's different. I try to read through the Bible at least once a year, sometimes twice. And he says that we need to be reading the Gospels, one Gospel a week. He says we need to read the Gospels through every month. Now, I know that's tough on y'all. If you got a job, I get that. But for somebody like me, it's doable, but I It's like every month I get it started and then I get sidetracked. So the first week of the month, you read the Gospel of Matthew, 28 chapters. So, you know, that's 4 chapters a day. On top of your other reading, I get it. That's a lot. A psalm a day, a proverb a day, 4 in that, and then some in the Old Testament. I get it. It adds up. But then, you know, it's a little better with Mark. It's only 16, and Luke and John's not quite as big either. But he says if we want to know who Jesus is and more about him, we've got to read the Gospels every day, and we've got to be in them. And so that's one challenge I've, you know, kind of issued to myself. But here's the point, and then I am done, is this, and it goes back to the beginning, that life's not going to stop happening for any of us. It's not going to slow down. Even in retirement, I know mom and dad are quote-unquote retired. They're as busy now as they've ever been. So we've got to make time for this, for the Word of God. And if our goal is to please Jesus, and it should be, if our goal is to be more like Jesus every day, then we've, no ifs, ands, and buts, we've got to be in the Word of God. Now, I know when I am doing it, I have more peace and more joy than when I get into the flesh, which unfortunately is more than I would like. So I don't know where y'all are at in your Bible reading. I could go on for another hour on this. Not only should you be reading, is try to find you a devotion. I got one I'm going to hopefully share with the church for next year that we can all buy, maybe read together, get you a good devotion. They should not replace the Word of God, but I like them to, you know, go with them and let them add to what we're reading. And there's going to be days, I get it, where we don't feel like reading or we don't think we're getting anything out of it. But we just keep reading. We've got to stay in God's Word because that's the only way we're going to make a difference in the world. That's the only way we're going to be like Jesus. And so that's hopefully the thought God laid on my heart tonight as I was reading this, preparing this. And then next week, 2 weeks, it's going to be good. We're going to get in, there's 6, 7, 8 prophecies in here that we're going to see in the New Testament. Or not necessarily prophecies, but how David is a type of Christ. And it's really a very rich chapter in that regard. So we'll get into that here in a couple of weeks. So don't forget, next week is the week of the 4th. We technically, Mandy and I are still working, but we won't be here. We always give off to give the youth people and the children's people off that week. So we will not have midweek service next Wednesday night. Then we'll come back the next week. All right? Thank you for your attentiveness and for being here. Let me pray for us. Father, we do love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Word. We know it never returns void. We pray for what we have talked about tonight, and my prayer is that it was nothing in the flesh that I shared tonight, that it was a word from you. I know I know you spoke to me today in regards to that, and that I've got to be more consistent, and I've got to stay in your Word, and not 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there, but just a devouring of your Word and a desire to do that. My prayer is for me and for all of us that we desire to be more like Jesus. We get in your Word. We let it guide us. We let it convict us. We let it be our path. And that it just be what we cling to, Father, because we know it is your main way of speaking to us. And I pray for everyone in here that you would give them a desire to be in your Word, and you would give them time, and you would help them set aside time, and that you would help us daily to meditate on your Word and to grow and to be changed, to be more like Jesus. And that's my prayer for all of us tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.